is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, testifying before the House Committee on Financial Services. The committee does not expect that it will be appropriate to reduce the target range until it has gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%, said Mr. Powell. This is opening statements. We, that is the Open Market Committee, the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, we remain committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal and to keeping longer-term inflation expectations well anchored. Restoring price stability is essential to set the stage for achieving maximum employment and stable prices over the longer run. I welcome John Cochran, a senior fellow for the Hoover Institution, an economist who keeps the highly recommended blog Grumpy Economist, to break apart the chairman's statements, chiefly because he's a central banker. He is not the only solution to the present quandary of the United States and its allies about stagnation. John, a very good evening to you. All of this excitement following the pandemic, I learned from your most recent posting that we're not out of it yet, that the inflation we're living with is a result of that $5 trillion that the federal government lavished upon the American people. How so, John? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Absolutely. And it's fairly straightforward. Milton Friedman once said, if you want inflation, drop money from helicopters. And pretty much that's what our government did. Dropped $5 trillion, $3 trillion of it new money, $2 trillion of debt. So I don't want to be too critical. Some of that was necessary. There was a pandemic. You don't want people dying in the streets. I think it was overdone. Larry Summers thinks it was overdone. But one way or another, you drop that much money and debt on people with no plans of how you're going to repay it. And you get inflation. You get a burst of inflation that comes out seemingly from nowhere. Oh, no, greed, shrinkflation, monopolies. And then inflation goes away once you've inflated away all that, once all that extra money gets spent, which is pretty much exactly what we saw.
Aggregate demand exceeds aggregate supply. What's that mean, Professor?
That means if you drop $5 trillion of money on people, they go out and try to buy things. So that's aggregate demand, and aggregate supply is the nation's productive capacity, how much stuff our economy can produce. And when there's more money chasing too few goods, as the saying goes, prices go up.
As recently as 2022, the Federal Reserve, I characterize it as pointing to the inflation that we could see and saying this is supply chain. This is not profound, sticky inflation. They didn't talk about that $5 trillion. Did they miss the mark at that time, John?
I believe so. They completely missed the obvious elephant in the room. Supply chains and supply shocks, yeah, we had a pandemic. There was stuff in the way. That was actually mostly over by the time the inflation hit. But more importantly, if there's a supply shock, if you can't bring enough TVs in the country, then the price of TVs goes up relative to everything else. That's not what we had. We had the price of everything going up. That's inflation. That's the value of money going down. So that whole supply shock thing, I think, was fundamentally wrong. But they don't like to point out Congress is overdoing it on fiscal policy. I think that's part of the reason why they completely missed it.
We have political opinions in this country about that helicopter you talked about. Once upon a time, there was a man named Ben Bernanke who was in Jerome Powell's job. I believe he was called Helicopter Ben. And this is this century. This is an ancient 20th century news. I was taught that they would do anything necessary, whatever it took, including drop money out of helicopters to stimulate the economy to come out of a recession. And in 2008, 2009, we had a whopper. Have they taken it back? Is that all gone now? You used the word dustbin. Is that accepted, John?
I think Ben Bernanke wanted inflation, and he understood perfectly well that if you could drop money from helicopters, that would cause inflation. The Fed isn't allowed to drop money from helicopters. And this is one of the paradoxes. The Fed must always buy or sell things. And so all Ben could do was take in your 20s and give you 2 fives and a 10. That's what quantitative easing was in the end. And that's why the economy, that's why it didn't really have much effect. But the principle that if you drop money from helicopters, that's a fiscal transfer. The Treasury has to do it for good reasons. We don't want independent agencies taxing and spending money. But the principle was clearly understood.
You mentioned the quantitative easing and quantitative tightening. That has been another way of talking about the Federal Reserve intervening in the marketplace, in the economy. Quantitative easing meant that the Fed was taking onto its balance sheet trillions and trillions. I think my memory is it was around, the books were about 800 to 900 million in 2008 to 2009, or maybe it was a billion. The numbers move around. It rose as high as $9 trillion during the course of the last decade.
Yep.
First, there was $4.5 trillion by 2014. Then there was $9 trillion plus by 2022 in the depths of the pandemic. Did that work, John?
No. And I think that's very interesting. That kind of proves the point. I should plug here. I have a book called The Fiscal Theory of the Price Level, which outlines all this stuff. So $9 trillion bucks that the Fed bought securities and gave money, you would think that's an atom bomb. You would think Zimbabwe hyperinflation, here we come. Nothing happened. Inflation trundled along around 2% for 10 years. Then when there was only $5 trillion, but this time $5 trillion is a gift, not $5 trillion is a purchase, not I buy $5 trillion of bonds, just here's $5 trillion, boom, we get inflation. So that tells you it's the total amount that matters, and that the Fed buying and selling, the quantitative easing, is to first order. It's like taking your 20s and giving you 2 fives and a 10. That doesn't do much. If you give you lots of 2 fives and a 10s, well, that does something. So it's the overall amount. It's the fiscal part that really matters.
And lessons learned. All right, let's take the first lesson. Central bankers, I want to say this politely. Central bankers are not in control. Is that a radical statement?
Central bankers are in a lot less control than they would have you think, and that is convenient for them to say. They do have a great deal of power over what happens to the economy. They set interest rates that can affect where things go. But this, if you print up $5 trillion of money and send people checks from the Treasury, there's going to be inflation. Unless there's a plan to pay that back. The Central Bank of Argentina can't do much about it as long as the government's running huge deficits, and that's true here. So Fed is powerful, but not completely in control the way they'd like you to believe.
All right, and your terminology, the fiscal blowout, that $5 trillion, was a financial bailout of certain industries, not everybody, certain industries. And that's a lesson learned, or did we know that beforehand?
Well, here's a place where I will be a little critical of the Fed. There was all sorts of promises in pandemic after 2008, never again, no more bailouts, and yet a lot of that money was straight to bailing out. The Fed bailed out the Treasury markets. Powell issued a Mario Draghi-worthy whatever it takes that corporate bond prices shall not fall. The Fed lent directly to state and local governments. And of course, there was direct bailouts like the airline industry. So once again, there was a massive financial bailout. And that's kind of what you do in crises. But at least, you know, the decency to say, oh, everything we put in place failed. Maybe we better do something about it. That has not happened. It's just patting ourselves in the back. Calm the waters with a river of money. Let's see if that river comes next time.
Time for partisanship. We come to the left of center, believing that pouring trillions of dollars on, for example, climate subsidies is a way to reorganize the American economy. Does it also solve inflation and bring full employment, the two mandates for the Fed?
No. if anything, creates inflation. Inflation is a tremendous lesson. Throughout the 2010s, the Washington poobahs said, all we need to do to get the economy rolling is to borrow a lot of money, hand it out, spend it on whatever, and the economy will boom. Secular stagnation. We did exactly what you asked in the pandemic, and we got inflation out of it, and no spectacular rise in the economy. The supply limit is right there. And that means If you want to grow the economy, you can't just hand people money. You've got to do things efficiently. You've got to raise productivity. You're at the supply limit. This is just a huge slap in the face lesson of inflation. That brick wall of supply is right here. You can't just throw more money at it. So, you know, the hilariously named Inflation Reduction Act that is going to, you know, pour subsidies into electric cars, so long as they're made in the U.S. by union labor with U.S. parts and so forth. Meanwhile, China can send us electric cars at $15,000 each. I mean, we literally spend $100,000-ish subsidies on American electric cars. China can send them to us for $15,000. If you think this is about saving the planet, I got news for you. We just can't. This is a rat hole. And the sad news is we cannot afford rat holes anymore.
Right of center. They want to spend a lot of money on protectionism and industrial policy. Will that work, John?
Thank you. No. You helped me burnish my bipartisan credentials here, which I appreciate. We need efficiency, global efficiency. When China can send us something cheaper than we can make it, swallow hard, buy it from China and make something that they want. If you're going to try to do everything in the U.S. at 5-10 times the price that it costs somewhere else, that is going to hurt our economy and the everyday Americans that you want to do. Right-wing industrial policy is going to be no more successful than left-wing industrial policy. It's going to do for computer chips what the Jones Act did to the merchant marine.
Now we come to the hard part. This is mom saying it's good for you, all right? Stagnation is a product of debt. And in order to incur more debt is to incur more stagnation. Therefore, if you're going to spend it, you got to raise taxes. Who listens to you, John?
I hope I didn't say that. Because raising taxes is a terrible way to try to pay off debt. Because you raise, raising taxes might not be terrible, but raising tax rates is what they want to do. In California, the top end marginal tax rate's already about 70% if you add everything in, federal, state, local, property, and everything else. So raising tax rates is like climbing up a sand dune. Every step forward is three-quarters
of a step. All right, let's try the other thing. How about cutting spending? Is that imaginable?
Well, that would work. Let's call it reforming spending. Let's reform the tax code so that it raises money without so many distortions. Let's reform spending so it does what needs to be done with more efficiency, without so many disincentives to keep people on spending programs forever. Let's let the economy grow. That's the magic solve for all wounds. Let the economy grow so the tax revenues rise without changing tax rates. That's the answer, and that's what inflation tells you. It's the only answer left. We got to do that. We've now tried everything else.
John Cochran, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, Palo Alto, California. We're going to come back with more partisan talk, but this time, who voted and how at Stanford University? Aren't you curious? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Battle.